Well, good morning. I'm not sure how my throat's going to sound here and there, so hang with me. Oh, it's just allergies with the weather change and all the good stuff floating around out there. And, you know, one thing about Savannah State indoors is you never know what the weather's going to be indoors. At the beginning of the week, it's usually kind of warm because they don't leave the air conditioner on all weekend. And then by the time you get to the end of the week, it's really cold. And so I'm wearing sweaters and stuff and when I'm in the classroom. But then when I walk out, I have to shed it because it's, you know, still in the 70s or 80s most of the time. So it's a little crazy. But that's nothing to complain about. It's just what we have to deal with, right? We living in the South, living where we have all this wonderful moderate weather one way or the other. We haven't had fall yet. We're still waiting on fall to hit, so... I hear it's coming, you know. Yeah, I hear it's headed our way. But what is it? February, about the second week of February to about the beginning of the fourth week of February, that's winter. And then by the time we hit March, we're moving into the other things. Parables. The parable that we're going to talk about today probably would fit really well in our culture. Because we have a whole, you know, it doesn't take us very long to listen to the news or to watch the news, and we could find somebody that is supposed to be standing up for what's right and wrong, and someone that's either, you know, nominated or elected, and we could probably find an example that Jesus could bring up in a parable, because there's so much of this stuff, you know, and it doesn't matter what label you wear, you know, there's somebody on every side of the aisle, and some people who are behind the aisles, and people who are under the aisles, and, you know, who's doing something that Jesus could focus on from the news. It just doesn't take a whole lot. So today we're going to look at a story where Jesus probably was watching the news and said, you know, you've seen somebody like this before, probably not too long ago, and the news was probably somebody walking through town hollering and shouting, or somebody that was like a neighbor, you know, saying, did you know this happened? But it was news. And so there was somebody like this in the popular culture, I just have to believe, that Jesus said, let me tell you a story. And so his example was not somebody who was of stellar, pristine character. It's really funny how Jesus could pull a story out of nowhere, literally, as far as human wisdom is concerned, pull a story out of nowhere using somebody that's a bad example in order to make a point about God and the way that we need to understand God. That kind of brings me back to one of my favorite quotes from Will Rogers, and that being, everybody serves some useful purpose, even if it's just to be a horrible example. Well, in this case, Jesus created this character in this story to be a horrible example, to say something about God that we need to know. It's really kind of an unusual situation. So let's not act like this story, this illustration, this parable wouldn't have names we could fill in the blanks from people we saw on the news yesterday. Or we'll see in the news tomorrow, because it's really quite close to home. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, and verses 1 through 8. And from the get-go, I'm going to tell you, from the get-go, he tells you why Luke tells us why he's telling this parable. But there's a little more nuance to this that I want to get into than just the prelude to the parable that says, oh, this is about this, because there's a whole lot more there. So here's the parable, Luke 18, 1 through 8, called Parable of the Unjust Judge. At least that's what we've kind of called it. Now, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I don't know about you, and we're going to get there, but that last statement to me just kind of goes in a different direction. At least it feels that way to me. And I've always had a question about that, so I want to deal with that eventually. But I want to talk about the parable for just a few minutes. My first question is this. As you look at the parable, why do you think that Jesus sensed the need to teach with this parable? What? Again, from the beginning, it says, okay, he wanted to teach him to pray persistently and essentially not give up. All right, we get that. But why did he pick these characters? Why did he do it this way? Or, in this case, let's take a step back. Why did he even feel like he needed to teach this parable? Was there something going on? So what I want you to do is, if you've got a Bible, look in your Bible in chapter 17 and look and see what he was doing in chapter 17 for just a minute. I know Luke kind of telescopes things occasionally. Luke kind of takes stories that are close in importance, and instead of dealing necessarily with a chronology, sometimes he sort of groups things together a little differently. I understand that. But what was going on in chapter 17? And does this parable relate to anything that he perceived going on around him? You see anything there? So do you see anything in chapter 17 that would give you any hint as to why Jesus would share this parable? Do you see anything there? Subject matter wise or timing wise? Terry? Okay. All right. One of the things that we see in our culture quite prevalently, and again, now listen to me, I'm not saying this is a negative thing. It's just part of the culture. Okay. Is that we actually have a culture that allows people who feel like they have been mistreated a recourse to get justice. There's a lot of places in the face of the planet that's not in the program. But in our culture, it is a part of the program. So even though sometimes people may express that in ways we don't like, still, we're in a place where people can demand justice, and they can do it supposedly with no reprisal. So evidently, if you look at the context, the truth is, there's always going to be unjust knuckleheads who are in positions of influence and power. Okay? Always. People are always going to feel like they've not been treated right. Now, in the culture that Jesus was speaking in, there was very little recourse unless you were a Roman citizen. If you were a Roman citizen, you had a chance. But if you were not a Roman citizen, if you lived in one of these outpost places where the Romans had conquered, most of those folks were not Roman citizens. They were under protectorship and being dominated by the Romans, and they established, prefects over certain areas. But those people, the Romans didn't treat them the same way. So there was a lot of room out there for people to feel like they were being mistreated, and they had no way other than to hope that the Roman governance would listen to them. That may be a backdrop for this. It's that first statement in this that leads into this parable that kind of, for me, sort of throws me off a tad. Because it says that generically, this parable was taught to teach people to be persistent in prayer. But yet the application seems to go a little sideways on that for me. I don't know. We'll get to that question. So do you have anything else that you see that maybe could add to why Jesus sensed the need to teach this parable? that we've talked about their context, that perhaps people weren't being treated right. That's a good possibility. And so he's telling them that they need to pray persistently. Okay, let's go to the second question. Why would Jesus create a judge in the story who was worldly and of questionable character? What was the point of doing that, you think? Yeah, Becky. Okay. I too, at this point, lean towards the contrast. Okay. And for me, the story or the statement of Jesus that I go back to a lot of times is, you know, a good father is not going to give his son a stone or a serpent whenever he asks his father for something to eat, or, you know, he's saying God is good. He's not going to do those kinds of things. Okay. God is not, and I fill in the blank with things that I feel like I in the past had that were wrong views of God. That God was reactionary, or that he was fickle, or that he did what he wanted to do and he didn't care about it. He's saying God's not that kind of guy. He is consistent. He's a good father. He's loving. He's forgiving. He disciplines, that he does all these things. And this is the kind of God that he is. And so what he's saying is, if this kind of person will eventually finally give in to persistence, and he is not somebody who is governed by morals or principles, he's very pragmatic. Even if this hypothetical judge that I'm cooking up, even if he would give in because he doesn't want to be worn out, just think, if God, who cares for you, loves you, who is your father, he's not going to treat you that way. And that's not what this is about. At least that's kind of where I see that contrast leading me. Don't know about you, but that's kind of where I see this going. And the other thing is, again, because I think most of these people had felt like they had been mistreated. I mean, the Romans were tough folk. Okay? They were not easy to get along with. It was their way or highway, literally. And so it was not unusual for them to feel that way where they were. All right, third question. Why do you think Jesus would create a widow who needed legal protection? Tim. Which meant she was where on the societal scale. Okay. Probably not the very bottom. The very bottom was, you know, say for people who did unsavory, immoral types of things. But of the people who were on the scale of influential in society, she was probably a woman who was a widow who had no sons to take care of them and had no more brothers for their husbands who might marry them and take care of them. They were of the people who were not immoral. They were about the lowest rung, probably right up above shepherds and sheepherders, you know, who were the very lowest on the societal scale. They're kind of out. They chose to be outcast in a lot of ways because they were vulnerable. So here you have Jesus creating this scenario where you have a very vulnerable character, very vulnerable person who depended on others for anything. Why do you think why would she need to be persistent? Again, we're going to talk about her in the parable as if she were a person, although she's not. Okay. So why would she need to be so persistent? All right. So is it just that she's bothered that he doesn't pay attention to her? This is not just a matter of a socioeconomic, I mean, it's not just that she's lowly. What does that mean for her? If she's a widow, her husband had no brothers, she doesn't seem to have any sons to take care of her, why would she be persistent? She has nothing else. She's desperate. Okay, she is desperate. So to create a character that has no voice in the culture, who is probably desperate, who has been mistreated on top of being a widow, whatever that might have been. Maybe it's somebody didn't pay her to do something that she needed them to pay. You know, we don't really know. He doesn't fill that in the story. We just know she's been mistreated. But she is at a point of desperate. So she would be persistent. And I think that that's sort of an element that we miss just looking at the parable. We forget this is a person who is experiencing deep need, desperation. It's like either the judge comes through or I'm done. So that says something, if we consider that, that says something about the relationship in all this to what Jesus is saying. I think we can't forget the deep sense of desperation and absolute dependence upon this person who is unfortunately unjust. But then again, it's a contrast against God who is entirely and perfectly just. All right, next question. So what does this parable then seem to teach about God if we take the contrast view? We're saying, you know, Jesus set up this unjust judge to say, well, if this unjust judge will finally give in to persistence, then God's like this. He's not like that at all. What does the parable teach us about God? So we clearly see when it comes to what the parable is teaching, something about God's character. It does that through the contrast. It also is telling us something about something that we are supposed to be persistent, and yes, even whenever we feel like we are mistreated, and you know, I guess it could be for our faith in this case. If you look at that last statement and that comes after the parable, that it could be mistreated because we have faith, and we won't deny that faith. That God cares, He is invested, He is involved, and that we shouldn't misinterpret what we feel like we don't see in some way as God being like this unjust judge. Okay, let's go to the next question. Next slide there, John. So why does God want us to be persistent in prayer? Why would Jesus teach us, okay, that we need to be... Now, I'll go ahead and pop up the next question, because it's almost like I got to deal with these two at one time. Does this parable only relate to prayers asking for justice? See, I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the things where I struggle with this, because the statement before the parable is that He wanted to teach us to be persistent in prayer and not give up. But then in the parable, it seems to be about praying in terms of relationship to being mistreated and not receiving justice. So is it the broader thing of whenever you pray about anything, or is it about when you're struggling because people are mistreating you because you believe in me? And the reason why I lean towards that is because that last statement, will He find faith on the earth? Do you see where I'm kind of wrestling with this? Because, Carol, in the past, we have been in a couple of situations at times where what we have, and I say we, Regina and I, have prayed that God would simply defend us, and that who we are would rise, and that it would be clear that people could see if there was an ungodly agenda against, and that in some way God would vindicate, not do what we wanted Him to do, but that He would defend and vindicate. I see that as being somewhat in line with what I'm seeing here. Whenever I look at this parable, I just want to be careful, because it would be too easy to take this parable and say, oh, this parable says if you'll just be persistent when you pray, that eventually, because God's a good God, He'll just give in. And that the whole thing is a matter of you being persistent, and then that will, you know, God will eventually, because He's a good God, He'll just do it. But I'm not settled with that, with looking at this in that way. I don't have a settled attitude or feeling about this. It seems to be more involved with the idea of God being the one who is responsible for our covering and making sure that we understand God is a good God. He's responsible for our covering, and He will be our defender. And if we will be persistent, we'll find that He will defend us. Now, I'm still not sure. Terry kind of had a little bit of a nuance in there. Just the whole idea of why does it have to be that we have to be persistent? And then, okay, define persistence for me. Does that mean I pray 3 times a day? Does that mean, you know, when I wake up in the morning that I have to, you know, what does that mean? Is it a matter of repetition? You know, maybe y'all don't think like I do, but I ask questions a lot of times. And Anthony, I think that sometimes we actually think of persistence with a negative connotation. Yes, you could say that, okay, in the parable he created this desperate widow who may very well have been doing that out of the desperate, but I think the reality is, in what he was saying in the parable, is she understood her desperation and her dependence. The question is, when we pray, do we act like we are desperate and dependent? Or are we trying to speak to God as if He is a rabbit's foot or a cosmic vending machine that we, if we'll simply put in enough prayer, that we get out what we paid for in our persistent prayer? Does that make sense? And I don't think that's what He's saying. And two, I think that I struggle with prayer. Is prayer me listening to God and agreeing with what He's telling me? Or am I just saying, oh, it's good enough for me to just come up with this list and I'll just lay it in front of you and I'll just keep bugging you about it? You know, I think there's nothing wrong with us asking. Don't get me wrong. But there's also the part that we neglect, which is the listening and understanding God's character in His heart and coming to an agreement with the things He wants to do and saying, I know You want to do this. I just want to agree with You, Lord. I don't always understand the way You're doing it, but I'm agreeing, and help me understand, help me accept or understand. Becky. Mm-hmm. I get that. Whereas you were talking, where I kind of felt like my thoughts were going sideways, was on the issue of sometimes do we treat asking other people to pray for us as a way for us to avoid persistence? Now, I'm not saying it necessarily is, but I think that's one of the things we have to be open before God and say, Lord, am I just trying to avoid the work you know, because prayers work. Are we just trying to avoid the work that we know we're supposed to do by saying, oh, would You pray about this for me? Well, it's a different thing to say, I want You to pray with me about this. And it's, you know, a lot of times people say, well, You pray for me. I mean, think about the sorcerer whenever Peter, you know, was confronting about trying to manipulate the Holy Spirit, you know, so he could do wonderful magical things, and he says, oh, no, your heart's all wrong. You thought you could buy this. And he says, well, You pray for me. Well, why would Simon the sorcerer not go pray himself? You know, anyway, just I think about things like that. Here. It can. I think it can. And yeah, obviously, don't hear me saying that there's anything wrong with asking other people to pray with us about stuff. No, absolutely not. We're told to do that. John, go to the next. I want to not go too much longer because I'm to the end of my time. So, you know, what does it say to us about ourselves? I think we've talked a bit about that as we've talked around these things. You know, what does the parable say to us, about us? And then get to that last question. Why did Jesus ask that last question? After, will he find faith on the earth? And that is, and I think that was tied to the persistence. Okay. In that when we know that we need to hear from God in order to agree with him, are we willing to continue to be persistent before God? Not saying, I want, but to say, Lord, what are you doing? What I need is to know what you're doing. And I need to be in agreement with what you're doing, and I'm going to be persistent about that. Now, Lynn, you had one thing I think you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good, I think another thing we see in this is that, you know, we know that God is not going to swat us away like flies. So the persistence has to do with demonstrating that we have the faith, the kind of faith that God's looking for. That's right. He's your fender. He's your defender. You know, he is not left you, which is kind of an interesting story to hear, to get out of an illustration of somebody who's not driven by character. I just thought that was a very interesting thing that Jesus would do. All right, we're gonna pray. Father God, thank you for the stories. Thank you for telling us about your heart and your character and the way that we need to understand you. And thank you that Jesus was able to put it into words, that just like he put himself into flesh, was able to put it into words and illustrations that we could get a hold of and understand. Lord, we want to learn your ways. We want to live your ways. Lord, one thing we know here is that you're telling us that as we approach days where things become more tense and more difficult, that Lord, we need to continually be before you, not just asking you for stuff, but Lord, seeking your heart, trying to understand what you're doing, especially when we feel like we are being attacked. Lord, help us to be persistent and be those that will display faith. The faith to wrestle with you in prayer. Lord, we want to be the people that you're looking for. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.